Folks, great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back with us once again, always giving us amazing updates. We have some doozies for you today and a great video clip that'll have you chuckling. Pretty cool. But want to remind you, we're at andweknow.com/gold below this video. All you have to do is click on that. You'll be able to reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team. They will be able to talk with you just like I'm having a conversation today and answer all of your questions, especially when it comes to precious metals. It is absolutely amazing what they'll do for you, the same that they did for my family. So wanted to jump right in here and add to this particular deal. Goldman CEO issues warning as interest costs on America's ballooning debt exceed spending on defense and Medicare. What is that all about?
So David Solomon, who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs, actually said something that I started talking about at least LT 6 or 7 years ago. Because I started doing the presentation and then following it every single year, I would kind of update it where I would look at the budget of the United States. You can just go to whitehouse.gov, look up the budget. There's a summary table that talks about all the expenditures and all of the revenue. So about 7 years ago, I noticed it's like, this is kind of ugly, because you've got about back then over 70-something% of all federal tax revenues were going out to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, women, infant, children programs, and food stamps. Over 70%. Well, today it's well over 80%, those things. But what's different is, I remember back then, the interest on the national debt was in the $300 billion range. So that's our interest payments. But remember, interest rates were pretty low. Now that interest rates are high, you know, higher, not high, I think they're going to go through the roof from here still. But, you know, at where we are with, you know, an average interest rate on a 30-year mortgage, you know, pushing 8%. What does that do to the national debt of $34.5 trillion? Well, just for the first 7 months of this year, the interest that we've paid so far is $514 billion during the first 7 months. So you extrapolate that for another five to get us the full 12 months of the year. We're going to have somewhere close to $900 billion, almost $1 trillion in just interest-only payments. Interest-only. Oh. Now, what does that exceed? So that exceeds our total spending on the Department of Defense, our total spending on Medicare, is interest payments. I mean, this is disgusting. But what's even more disgusting is, where do those interest payments go? Right. Because remember how we watched that video of Jared Bernstein a couple weeks ago, where he was talking all fumbling around and couldn't find his words about, well, we borrow money and we print money. And we, you know, that whole video. Right. Yep. So, and he's Biden's chief of the Council on Economic Advisors. Right. So. Where he said he was wrong is, we don't print money. We don't. The Fed prints money. So who does the interest go to? The interest that we're paying on our national debt goes to the Fed. And who's the Fed? Seven families, basically, like the Rothschilds family, the Rockefellers, you know, just very, very wealthy families. Of course they're wealthy. If they're the ones getting the interest payments on the U.S. national debt, which is pushing $1 trillion a year.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of wealth, LT.
It is. So, a lot of power.
Yeah. And it's they're paying interest to these families. So the danger is, as Solomon was saying, is, man, here's the quote. I think the level of debt in the United States and the level of spending is something we need a sharper focus on and more dialogue around what we've seen. It's like, sharper focus? Dude, you guys spend money like drunken sailors. It never ends, right? You need more than a sharper focus. You need to cut things that absolutely aren't needed. Because he says later on, the consequences, if we don't act now, are unbearable. So what is unbearable if we don't stop it now? The U.S. economy collapses. We don't have the ability to pay off the interest payments on our national debt. We don't have the ability to pay interest payments on our U.S. treasuries that a lot of other countries own still, and therefore we're going to default. And if you default and not pay interest payments to another like country that happens to be a nuclear power, like China, for example, mm-hmm. well, the consequences are ugly. You know, we don't want to default, but we will. We actually will default because there's simply not enough money. What's the other alternative? The other alternative, if we don't default, is because they're printing their way out of it, and they're going to create massive amounts of inflation, and we could go into a hyperinflationary spiral. But so these are the outcomes that are coming, which is why people now across the board are starting to say, we got to consider this debt. Even House Speaker Johnson is saying, well, we got to tackle the debt. Well, he hasn't been very impressive to me lately, but everybody is starting to go down. We got to pay off this debt. This is unsustainable. This is going to collapse our economy. Across the board, Republicans and Democrats alike are now seeing that we've got an end game moment coming. Mm. And it is going to be an end game to our economy, LT. If the only way that we get out of it, I don't think that we do, but the only way that you could is if you slash spending, you get rid of worthless like organizations within the government, like maybe the Department of Interior, the Department of Education would be a good one to get rid of.
That's right.
Yep. How about the Centers for Disease Control? Yep. They don't control anything. They actually just spread things like bird flu and things of that nature. Right. So, right. So we got to cut spending, and for crying out loud, Biden just spent $50 million, which doesn't seem like much, but on what? I mean, studying methane emissions from cows. $50 million to, excuse the language, but see if a cow farts? I mean, why? Why? I mean, literally, why? It doesn't matter. Because, well, they think it does because it's going to add to the, you know, greenhouse effect or something. It's like, oh my word, this is just unrelenting spending. So bottom line is, even people like Goldman Sachs, you know, part of the globalist, you know, cabal, right. are saying the United States is going to explode, you know, as far as debt goes, and this ballooning debt is going to be a problem. So here, though, is where I'm thinking they are basically telegraphing something that they want to happen. Right, because what comes next? They usher in something that none of us want, which would be right. central bank digital currency. So right. now they're acting like these amazing voices of wisdom, saying, well, if we don't actually take care of this debt, we're going to implode. So then they can, you know, 6 months, a year down the road, they can say, see, we told you that this was going to happen, but we saw it coming, and we've already prepared a solution for everybody. Central bank digital currency. That's, I mean, right. I can see it happening right now. It's so obvious what they're doing, because these people are the ones that created the debt. And now they're warning us that it's mm-hmm. too much. It's mm-hmm. like, come on. Do you think that we're stupid? And I think that they do. I think that their egos are so big that they think that we're stupid. But this is where I think the world is headed, a debt implosion, and they're going to usher in something that's even worse.
Hmm. Yeah, so that brings us to what you, I believe, have set up next for us with this CBDC setup would be Yuval Harari, this guy who basically wants to be the prophet of the earth and usher in complete slavery of everyone.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to play this clip for us real quick.
When I look at Bitcoin as a historian, I don't like it because this is a money built on distrust. The central idea of Bitcoin is basically electronic gold, that we don't trust the banks, the governments, so we don't want to give them the ability to create as much money as they like, so we create this Bitcoin. It's a currency of distrust. I do think that the future belongs to electronic money, but what we've seen over the last centuries is that it's actually a good idea to give banks and governments the ability to create more and more money in order to build more trust within society. So I'm not sure what money would look like in 20 years or 30 years, but I hope it will be a currency of greater trust and not a currency of distrust.
All righty then.
I mean, it's just so funny because it's so stupid. But yeah, so I started thinking about this. It's like, what in the world could this clown be thinking, right? So I mean, obviously, Harari, he's like the spokesperson of all evil in the world, pretty much. But why would he say that? Really, why would he? So I got to thinking, it's like, okay, I figured it out. So he's right in the fact that Bitcoin and gold both are currencies of distrust, right? Because when you distrust the government, you want something that's private. Well, both decentralized cryptocurrency and gold and silver, they're private. So those two things they have in common, gold and silver and cryptocurrency. And they both, people who invest in cryptos or gold, both want growth, right? So in a nutshell, you know, cryptocurrency and gold and silver, they both have the same fundamental forces that cause their growth. But why does he say it's a thing of distrust? Because people don't like the system. They don't like the non-private aspect of either central bank digital currency or of the government overreach. So they go into something that's private. So his theory is if you print money and create inflation, that will actually bring more trust to the central banks. It's like, common sense, no. However, what are they going to do with that printing? This is where it starts to make sense, because when you print money, you're going to have more entitlement payments. You're going to have more Social Security payments. You're going to have more stimulus programs. You could have things like guaranteed basic income, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is where I think he's misusing the term trust by the government creating inflation and printing money with the term, there's not really a term for it, but instead of trust, it's like, okay, I'll kind of accept you because you're going to give me free stuff. Okay, that's not trust. That's like, I'm tolerating you because you're going to give me things, right? That's what he's saying, is the government will print money to give stuff away to people and buy votes. But to me, if I were the recipient, it's like, okay, I don't trust you. However, I'll take your money. I mean, that's actually the end result of what he said.
Right, right. And so going into all of this, we head over to this area here where we're talking about gold. And you wanted to basically share what's going on in the different states in America when it comes to fighting back against these world order elites that wanted basically destroy us and continue printing over and over again. What's going on with this?
So this is amazing to me. I mean, it really is. So this website, it shows us a list of all the states where they either have legislation pending or they've already voted in gold and silver being legal tender in those states. So let's look at it. Mississippi legislation filed, Kansas hearing scheduled, Florida legislation filed, Utah study bill signed, Arizona moves out of committee, Iowa legislation filed, Missouri legislation filed, Oklahoma legislation filed, Wisconsin filed, Alaska filed, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, West Virginia, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas, North Carolina, Ohio.
Ooh.
Already. They already have gold and silver as legal tender. Right. So Texas is actually going up for vote here in 2 weeks, but with the, it would have passed the last legislative session. However, they didn't get to it to vote. They didn't lose any members of Congress that would have voted for it. So it, you know, I'm basically, it's going to pass. Right. So here's where I look at this and states' rights rising up, solutions coming to a Federal Reserve System. Just let's see, when was it? So it's Sunday, so we're looking at 4 or 5 days ago. I think it was on Tuesday. What happened on Tuesday of last week? Nebraska basically passed legislation that said there will be no income tax on the sale of precious metals. No income tax. And then Representative Mooney, the exact same day, it would come out that he's proposing legislation for the U.S. House of Representatives to not tax any liquidation of gold or silver.
Right.
No income tax and no capital gains tax. So what does that say? They're starting to view it as currency, because you don't tax that on currency exchanges, right? There's no capital gain on if you give somebody $100 and they give you like 520s back, right? It's like when you're dealing with cash, there's no taxation on that. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that people are looking more and more and more at gold and silver as true money, like the founding fathers envisioned it in the Constitution. That was the only real money, was gold and silver back then. So now we're coming full circle, and you've got states legislating or already recognizing gold and silver as legal tender. So here's the hope that I have, and the peace that I have is it might seem like the foundations are eroding and all hope is lost, and it's getting to be really, really dark days. But financially, you're going to have states that rise up, and they're going to basically defy the government's ability to print money because they can do it themselves.
That's right.
And this is just an amazing thing. And we're starting to see that trend now. So point is, when they're looking at gold and silver as legal tender, what do you want to own? Gold and silver.
That's right.
Right. Because if you own the backing of a currency, for example, before it backs the currency, you're going to own the backing. See, currencies can be very volatile in the sense of you've got exchange rate risk, you've got purchasing power risk, you've got political risk. There's a lot of risk of the currency. Like, let's not say it is. The Russian ruble is backed by gold. Okay. Now, is the ruble out of favor with most countries? Yes, because of the war with Ukraine. Is gold, which backs the Russian ruble, is that out of currency anywhere? No, it's not, right? In fact, central banks all over the world are buying it. See, so here's the difference. You could either own the backing of a currency or a currency. In that one case, owning the backing of the currency, it doesn't matter if it's the French franc, the Italian lira, the euro, the US dollar, the Russian ruble, the Indian rupee, the Chinese yuan, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you own the backing, gold is gold is gold is gold. It doesn't matter what country it's in, but currencies can go out of favor really quickly. And that's why you never want to own a currency. You want to own the backing of the currency. That's where safety comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's what excites me about this list of states that's going down that exact road that we want them to go down and starting to view gold and silver as legal tender.
Yeah, amazing. Did you see this coming back then? Did you feel like maybe the states would do something like this? Or is this an answer to prayer or something that you've been hoping for? I mean, anything in the past that led up to this?
So way back, you go back to the founding fathers. I mean, they envisioned that. They warned against central banks and their concentration of power in 1776.
Oh, right? Wow.
So there was a book that I read when I was in grad school back in 1992 called The Sovereign Individual by William Davis and Lord William Rees-Mogg. So he was one of the advisors to the Queen of England. Talked about the sovereign individual and how there was going to be massive government overreach and the people were going to start pulling back and becoming sovereign citizens rather than citizens of a globalist world, right? Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that. I mean, that was in 1992 that I read that book. So 02, okay. 12, 22, over 30 years ago, how did a sociologist and historian, know what was coming? Because it's human nature. People don't like to be controlled. And they saw, even back then, this globalist push to control people, like, back then, the big talk was, it's only 8 years prior, 1984, Orwell's big book, A Big Brother, right?
And so
nobody wants that. Nobody wants the government having spyware on your bank account. They don't want overreach, telling you where you can go, what you can do, what you can't do. And there were even movies back then, like Minority Report, that Tom Cruise movie, that you know, thought police, they were arresting you because of something that you just thought about that you were going to do down the road, right?
Right, like, right.
Oh, so now that weird dystopian future from back then is the reality of today. Mm-hmm. And they saw it coming. They saw those trends. They saw those forecasts and say, okay, there's going to be a pull away from globalism into sovereign citizenry almost, where they took it even one step further, where national boundaries were going to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a serfdom that was going to be created. Like you would have a lord of a certain area that, you know, that maybe specialized in oil production or railroads, mm-hmm. or cotton or whatever. And the people basically just like the feudalism days. Right. So, so that's how they envisioned the world to be. Well, we're not that far into a feudal type world, but we are moving into sovereign citizen where we can have our own individual currencies in gold and silver. And I think that's an amazing step in the march towards freedom.
That's right. That's right. Towards freedom for sure. And that's where we step right into folks reaching out to you at amweknow.com/gold. And they can have this conversation with you and start getting down this away from fiat currency and start investing in silver and gold. Folks, the warning signs are there. The fact that these states would even show up and basically catch on to what's going on and say, you know what, we need to start protecting the folks in our great states here, shows an awful lot of movement in a way that we should probably be doing as individuals if they're doing that for sure. And so we hope that you guys reach out to them. There's also a phone number, correct? They can reach you?
Yeah, 720-605-3900. That's 720-605-3900. Just say that LT sent you, or go to andweknow.com/gold.
Awesome. Awesome. And you can have all these questions answered. They will take care of you. It's absolutely amazing. And my thought is to go to prayer today as we close out.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for how you continue to guide and direct our lives through this turmoil, this new world order that's being pushed on us. You saw it coming. You already know about it. And you already had Dr. Elliott set up and ready for those who are looking for ways to protect themselves in this parallel economy that's being set up by you. And so we just ask that you continue to protect his family, protect all of those that work there, as we know the enemy does not like what's going on when we find ways through your support and getting around these folks that want to control our lives and take away our freedom. So again, thank you for all that you do in and through our lives. Ask that you continue to guide and direct us and Dr. Elliott's team and everything they do. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. We'll be talking to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you.